The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Dr. Sandra Cummings is with me, who is a consultant audiologist at Beacon Audiology, and she is here to talk about ear infections, the bane of so many parents' lives, Sandra. Ear infections. I have to admit, we were slightly lucky with our two. We didn't have to deal with them an awful amount. What is causing the infection more often than not? When we say ear infection, is that a catch-all for lots of different things?
Well, there's basically two types of ear infections. It's very common in children because their eustachian tubes are not fully, they're smaller than normal and they're not slanted down. So it's a structural thing. Their heads are small, so the eustachian tube doesn't work properly. What happens then is they develop a negative pressure behind the eardrum, and that sucks in fluid from the surrounding walls. Now, that fluid, so it's very much age-related. That's why most kids have ear infections.
I was going to ask you that. Why do we grow out of it?
Exactly, because our head structures grow, all these structures grow, and so then when we do get a bad cold, the fluid can drain down our eustachian tubes. So it's more a developmental issue. So there's the two types. So first of all, that fluid can become infected. So, you know, it's mucus that's lying there, a great medium for an infection. So it can become infected, and that's much more obvious when the kid has an ear infection. They have a fever, there's pain, they're crying, there's discomfort. But you can also get what we call glue ear. So that's when the fluid is thick and viscous. It's not infected, but it causes obvious hearing loss. So this is a silent one. The kid will slowly start having speech and language delays, speech errors. They're frustrated. You're calling them three times. There's no obvious sign of ear infection because they're not pulling at their ear. There's no pain, no fever. Yet it does cause quite a significant loss. And the other reason is kids, when there's this mucus, you know, if, for example, they're in creche, there's a lot of bugs flying around. So if there's this mucus around, it's going to get infected. Kids who are lactose intolerant, they're producing much more mucus, would tend to get more ear infections. So it's really important to be aware of this. The one is easy to identify, the other one not so easy to identify.
Okay, well, I mean, if kids are lactose intolerant, there's things can be done, you know, around diet and everything to reduce that buildup of mucus. Yeah. But given that the primary issue is a structural one, you kind of have to just deal with it, do you? There's nothing you can do to prevent these outright.
Exactly. I mean, you've got to be aware of it. So, you know, and when there's obvious signs of hearing loss, take your child to the GP, bring them to an audiologist. Often people go to speech and language therapists because there's speech and language delay. All it turns out, they've got thick fluid behind the eardrum. So there's nothing really you can do about it. I mean, there are these treatments, you know, Otovent, where you can blow a balloon up the nose. It relieves eustachian tube dysfunction. But, yeah, I mean,
so mostly, you blow a balloon up the nose?
Yeah, it's called Otovent, so it's a balloon that you blow.
Oh, sorry. You know, I imagined insert this balloon up the nose and then inflate it.
No. Just blow into it. And that basically relieves eustachian tube dysfunction. But you can't do that in small children. So the most important thing for parents is to be aware. And if the child has signs of, because this causes hearing loss. So, there's the approach of wait and watch, watchful waiting, you know, 3 months. This fluid can drain by itself automatically, especially going into summer months. The eustachian tube function is better and the fluid will drain down. Going into winter months, kids get more ear infections. So you can watch and wait. But if there are any other comorbidities, a developmental delay or kids with Down syndrome, then we refer to ENT.
You know, okay.
So it's the way we manage it, and it's important that it is managed.
And if it's not managed, I mean, what kind of long-term damage could you be doing?
So interesting. I mean, eventually that fluid will dissipate and drain. But remember, the child at a very critical age of speech and language development may have a temporary hearing loss. And those auditory neural pathways aren't being laid down. And so we often see kids now with auditory processing difficulties, and they have a history of ear infections as a child. So when you have an ear infection, your hearing is fine. Then you get an ear infection or fluid. The hearing is impaired. Mm. And so those pathways aren't laid down properly. And so, yes, eventually it will drain. But, you know, the child might have a temporary speech and language delay. And then these auditory processing problems, which we've seen. Not all kids will get it, but some kids will.
So, like I said at the outset, we were lucky that we didn't have a huge amount of this with our two. So you'll forgive the silly question, but what are grommets? When people talk about grommets.
So a grommet is a teeny tiny little ventilation tube. If you imagine a dumbbell, you know, that you use, miniaturize it to the size of a pinhead. That is a ventilation tube which is placed in the eardrum. So what the ear, nose and throat consultant would do, if it's been decided that the kid needs grommets, it's a light anesthetic, they suck out all the fluid and they place this ventilation tube on the eardrum. And so the air can pass through the grommet and that takes the place of the eustachian tube temporarily. So we keep the pressure behind the eardrum 0 decibel like it is around us.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to get a fluid buildup. And after 6 to 9 months, the eardrum is always making new skin and it expels the grommet.
It just pushes it out itself.
Pushes it out, the eardrum heals itself, and often we see children 6 to 9 months later, we look in the ear and there's a teeny tiny little grommet lying in the ear canal. Some kids need one or two grommet insertions. Some kids, it's just a once-off, you know.
Is there an age at which most of this tends to stop? Just from a developmental point of view, that the skull gets to a certain size?
Run about five-ish, you know.
Okay.
On average, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, great advice. So you've just got to deal with it, first of all, if it's a structural thing. But once it lingers, go and see your GP and they will point you in the right direction if you need to see someone.
Sure.
Absolutely. All right.
Listen, thank you so much for having me.
Sandra, listen, thanks a million for coming in to us. Dr. Sandra Cummings, who's a consultant audiologist at Beacon Audiology.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.